Excellent. Good morning. My name's Peter. I'm one of the elders here at Aylsham Community Church. And as Simon said, you join us at the beginning of our new preaching series on the letter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And this preaching series is going to take us all the way up to Christmas. Excellent. So, because it's the beginning of this preaching series on the book of Ephesians in your Bible, do get your Bibles out or turn to your favourite Bible app. It'd be good just to have a little bit of background about this. And the book, the letter to the Ephesians, starts in Acts chapter 19. Did you know that? No. Confused looks. Acts chapter 19, and it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus, and there he found some disciples. So this is when Paul first gets to Ephesus and meets the disciples, the Ephesians. And he spends some time with them. He goes to the synagogue. He shares with them for several months. And then some people get upset and don't believe what he's saying. And so Paul takes the disciples who do believe. He takes them next door to the hall of Tyrannus. And it says he reasoned daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years. And get this, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Paul in Ephesus, speaking and sharing with the disciples there, just has a rippling effect to the whole of Asia. Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, is in what we now know as Turkey. It was a large city, a port, in what is now modern day Turkey. So Paul is there, but then the people that are upset continue to be upset, and there's a riot at Ephesus, and then Paul is brought before the Roman tribune, and no, he's not. He decides to go to Jerusalem. That's it. He goes to Jerusalem, and then he shares there in Jerusalem in the temple there, and some more people are upset with him and what he's saying, and it's at that point he's arrested in the temple and brought to the Roman tribune. And there's this conversation that goes on, but Paul's then given permission to speak to the people, and he basically gives his testimony in Acts chapter 22. He tells the people of what happened to him and his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And the Roman tribune decides that Paul needs to be taken back to the Roman barracks and to be questioned about what it is he's saying by flogging. And he's there before he's flogged, and there's a Roman centurion who's watching guard over him. And it's at this point that Paul decides to let the Roman centurion know that he is, in fact, a Roman citizen himself, and that by flogging him and questioning him in that way would be unlawful. This, of course, panics the Roman centurion. He goes running back to the Roman tribune and tells him that Paul's in fact a Roman citizen, and the Roman tribune then is then worried himself, and a lot more conversations happen. Well, what should we do? What's going on? And in the middle of it, God speaks. The following night, the Lord stood by Paul and said, "Take courage. For as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." That telling of his story that was so powerful in Jerusalem, God says, actually, you've got to go to Rome and tell your story there as well. So to cut a long story short, Paul eventually ends up in Rome, under house arrest in Rome, and it's there then in AD 62 that he writes the letter to the Ephesians that he'd met about 7 years before. Are you with me? Excellent. So that's the letter we are now going to look at. So if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And as Paul does with many of his letters, he starts off with a greeting. He says this, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." As we go through this book over these coming weeks and go through these verses today. I'll just pray the same for you. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I just pray that now. Father God, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you that we can come together and worship you and praise you for all you have done for us in giving us your Son, Jesus. And as we look at this scripture now, I just pray that we would know the grace and the peace that can only come from you. That comes from you supernaturally by your Holy Spirit. Just pray. As we look at these verses now, will you come and encounter us in a fresh way? Will you open our eyes to the truth of these verses? Come, Holy Spirit, bring glory to Jesus, I pray. And if there's any sickness or disease in this room, I just command it to go in the name of Jesus. Whilst we are looking and considering scripture together, sickness, go in the name of Jesus. You have no authority here. Jesus is Lord of all lords and King of all kings. Jesus has the authority in this place. Amen. Amen. So after Paul's greetings in the first couple of verses, he then says this in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Paul turns our attention to Father God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and tells us to bless God. To bless God through our praise and our worship together, our prayers, our giving, our lives, the way we live our lives, that these things should just bless God. Why? Because God has blessed us first with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are here this morning and we are a people blessed by God. Whether you feel like that or not this morning, well, I tell you, this is the truth. We are blessed by God. Now, before I go any further, we just need to talk about what it means to be blessed. In the modern world of social media, there are many people who declare to the world just how blessed they are. Now, some of you, I know, won't be on Facebook or Twitter or any of these other things. But certainly on Twitter, people declare around the world how blessed they are, using 140 characters or less, and they label their declaration of how blessed they are with a label or what is known on social media as a hashtag, okay, that looks like this, hashtag blessed, okay? So I had a little look this week just to see what people were saying about how they are feeling blessed. Okay, so I've got some examples, okay, of tweets I found on Twitter this week. Don't know if you can see that. The first one says this. It's from a guy called Matt. I don't know who Matt is. He says he is hashtag blessed to be a Titans fan. Simon, who are the Titans? Thank you. I don't know any Norwich City fans who have ever said that they are blessed to be a City fan. Preston, the second one, Preston says, junior year versus senior year, £45 difference. He is hashtag blessed. I'm assuming he's actually lost some weight rather than putting it on. I don't know. Moon Java says she is it's her first show in New York and she is hashtag blessed. Okay. I think by the picture there that perhaps she's a model and doing a catwalk show or something like that. But great, that's good for her. She's in New York. But this one I like best, the last one I like best, Tobias. Tobias had some strawberry-flavored yogurt today, hashtag blessed. He is blessed by strawberry yogurt. That's great. That's great. If I was to declare on Twitter the ways in which I've been blessed, I might make mention of my good health or my wonderful wife or my beautiful children or my fantastic job or our great house or this wonderful town in which we live. I am truly hashtag blessed. Now, these things are all good, and they're worth thanking God for and praising him for. But there is an element that all these things, our health, our relationships, our homes, our jobs, strawberry yogurt, there's an element that these things are earthly, are of this earth. And what Paul is saying right at the beginning of this letter to the Ephesians is that we have been blessed by God with every spiritual blessing. In the heavenly places, there is something different to these blessings. And that these blessings are in Christ. They are because of what Jesus has done for us. So the obvious question to this is, well, okay, Paul, if we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing by our heavenly Father, exactly how have we been blessed? In what ways have we been blessed? It's an obvious next question to ask, and thankfully Paul gives us the answer. And in giving us the answer, he uses a phrase that helps identify the different ways in which God blesses us. And this is the phrase he uses, in him. It's in Jesus. It's because of what Jesus has done for us. So as we continue reading through these verses where you see those words in him, it identifies how God has blessed us. And the first one is this, that in him, he chose us before the foundation of the world. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, in our Bibles start with the book of Genesis, as we know. And it starts with those familiar words that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But if God is eternal, and we've been hearing a bit about God being eternal this morning during our praise. If God is eternal, and if God exists for all of eternity future, and has existed for all of eternity past, well, then there's a question as to what was God doing before he created the heavens and the earth. And Paul gives us an insight into one of the things that he was doing. He chose us in Jesus. God was thinking about me and you before the creation of the world, before the foundations of the world, before the earth was set on its axis, before the sun and the stars and the moon were created. God was thinking about us, was choosing us. Isn't that just mind-blowing? Isn't that mind-blowing? That he should be thinking about me. What was he thinking about me? That we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Before the foundations of the world were set into place, God existed with his Son, Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And they were thinking about us and they were choosing us to be in Jesus. Why? So that we could be adopted into God's family. Why does God want us into his family? Well, we'll come on to that in a bit. but it is according to the purpose of his will. This is the will of God, that we would be adopted as sons and daughters into the family of God. And God chose us to be part of his family before the foundations of the world. This is how God has blessed us. This is the spiritual blessing of God. The second way in which God has blessed us is this. In him, we have redemption through his blood. Redemption, the act of saving someone from captivity or slavery. And the main example, of course, we have in the Old Testament is that wonderful act of story of redemption of the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. That's what redemption looks like for them. So what does it look like for us? In him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of our trespasses, or your Bibles might say, of our sins. This is God's saving plan, rescue plan for me and for you. This is what Paul tells us, that through Jesus, in Jesus, we have been redeemed through his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, of our trespasses. Our natural state is this. Our natural state is that we are not holy and blameless as God would want us to be. But because of everything we think or say or do, then it goes against God's will and his purpose and his plan for our lives. And what we deserve, because of that, the Bible is clear. What we deserve is not to be adopted into his family and to live as children of God. What we actually deserve is to die. The Bible is very clear that it says that because of our sin, because of the things we get wrong, then there needs to be a payment or a penalty or punishment for the things that we have done, and that is death. The wages, the payment of sin is death. But God, out of love for me and for you, sent his son, Jesus, to take our place on the cross as the rescue plan for me and for you. That through his blood spilt for us on that cross, that we would be forgiven. That our sins, that our trespasses would be forgiven. That's what Jesus has done for us. He has come and taken our place and taken our sin upon himself and paid the price as the perfect sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He has done it for me and for you. It goes on, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, and it's according to the riches of his grace. We don't deserve it. We deserve to die, but Jesus has done it for us according to the grace of God, the riches of his grace. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. But God has lavished his grace upon us in that way by giving his son, Jesus. This is how we have been blessed by Father God with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world, adopted us into his family, and by the blood of Jesus spilled on that cross, we have been saved. And we can now stand before God, holy and blameless, according to the purpose of his will. That's how God now views us because of what Jesus has done. And as if that wasn't enough, there is still more. There is still more. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. When my father died a few years ago, they sorted out his estate and paid off bills and looked at his bank accounts and sorted things out. And at the end of all that process and sorting things out, there was left the sum of £2. came with nothing. He died with nothing. I think that £2 was put into the nearest charity box. I did inherit his wristwatch. It wasn't worth anything. It was more of a memento than an inheritance. And even after a few weeks, that stopped working. But the inheritance I get from my heavenly Father is eternal. It lasts forever. What is this inheritance that our heavenly Father has given us and blessed us with in the heavenly places? Well, it is heaven. Heaven is that inheritance, the gift of a father to his children, children adopted into his family and co-heirs with Christ. This is the hope that we have, this inheritance that we have of spending eternity with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit in heaven, a new heaven and a new earth where there'll be no more sickness, no more tears, no more mourning. It's the inheritance we have. Because Paul says, actually, we don't need to work for this. We have obtained it. It's done. Through what Jesus did on the cross, we have already obtained it. It's already been given to us, this inheritance. It's already been given to us. It's good news, isn't it? And as if that wasn't enough, being adopted and chosen before the foundation of the world and adopted into God's family and having our sins paid for by the blood of Jesus on the cross so that we can stand holy and blameless for God, and God giving us this wonderful inheritance and invitation to spend eternity with him in heaven. If that wasn't enough, there's even more. In him, you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. God gives us his Holy Spirit to dwell in us. Now, I'm not going to say any more on that now. If you want to hear what that means and what that looks like, then I invite you to come back tonight. Tonight, we've got Encounter. We're going to meet together from 7 till 9 just to worship together and spend time in God's presence and inviting God to move and the Holy Spirit to move and do whatever he wants to do with us. And at the beginning of our time tonight, for a few minutes, I'm just going to be sharing briefly on what it means to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. So if you want to hear the rest of this talk, you have to come back tonight. That is what the Father has done for us. That we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In him, we have redemption through his blood. In him, we have obtained an inheritance. In him, we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That is the blessings of God, the spiritual blessings of God. So then now comes another question to ask. Why would our Heavenly Father do that for us? Why? Why would he do that? And Paul tells us the answer, and you may have spotted it throughout these verses, but he ends verse 14 with it. That it's quite simple. That it's to the praise of his glory. That's why God has lavished these spiritual blessings upon me and upon you, to the praise of his glory. That we should be to the praise of his glory. That we should be to the praise of his glory. God doesn't need us. God was in perfect relationship before the foundations of the world. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit together, that picture of the Trinity, perfect relationship. But he has created us. He has chosen us to the praise of his glory. He has given us these blessings to the praise of his glory. For this we were made. For this we were redeemed. This is the great design of our salvation and of all that God has done in Jesus. for us, that it is to the praise of his glory. And when we consider what God has done for us in choosing us, in adopting us, in making us clean by the blood of Jesus, by giving us this beautiful inheritance of eternity with him in heaven, by sealing us with the Holy Spirit, when we consider all of this and the ways that God has blessed us, then how can our response not be anything else than but to praise him and to worship him for all he has done? Because of the redeeming work of Christ, we are holy and blameless in God's sight. God looks at us as if we had never sinned. All we can do is express our praise and thanks for his wonderful love. So that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do now. We're going to invite the worship team to come back up. And we're just going to spend some time worshiping together and praising him. But as part of our response, as I was praying about this morning during the week, as part of our response, I just felt God remind me about the Lord's Prayer. So we don't do that very often here at Aylsham Community Church, but I just felt it was right for this morning to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And got the words up on the screen. I've used the traditional version of the words because I think that's probably the one we're most familiar with. And we're going to pray this together twice. Okay. The first time, as we pray this through, I just want you to pray it through to God as a personal response for yourself. And perhaps there'll be something in it that the Holy Spirit just highlights to you where you just need to perhaps say sorry to God or speak to God or ask him something or praise him. So we're going to do that first. And then the second time, we're going to pray it together, but we're going to pray it as more of a declaration, a corporate declaration together to our Heavenly Father in wonderful adoration for all these things that he has poured out on us. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. So shall we stand together? And just use this as a personal response to God this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Just spend some time with God. Just think about those words. Just close your eyes if that's helpful. Hold your hands out if you feel comfortable with that. Just to know the grace and the peace and the love of God right now. You are chosen for adoption into his family. Jesus has redeemed you through his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. He has given you a wonderful inheritance to spend eternity with you, with him. He has sealed it with the promised Holy Spirit. Just let the love of the Father just come upon you now. Holy Spirit, will you just come? Will you just move amongst us? Thank you, Father, for what you have done for us in Jesus. Thank you, Father. as a church together, standing together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has blessed us. Let's declare, let's pray this prayer again, but let's use it as a declaration. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's worship him.